Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 with the Chronicles. Let's just give it a minute. We've got my co-host coming up, Chris. Got some guests. We're going to have a wonderful program for you. Please share the room. Here we are. My co-host is here. I've got the key. Chris has the key. And Crypto Canvas Chronicles, I'm your host, Sandy Toes. Hello, Chris. Hello, Chris. We've got Chris squared. Chris times two. And it's going to be a show. And we're waiting for our other guest, Miss Ida Bell, amazing artist and collector. She'll be joining us. But I'd like to give the mic to Chris, my co-host, to start the show. Hello. How are you, Chris?
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Friday. I'm happy to be here. Happy we have a good couple guests on. We have Ida herself and Chris from Coin and Concepts. It's going to be a great show.
Well, that's it. That's it. Come on. Give us what else is going on? I mean, no, seriously. But Chris from Emporium is going to be telling us about the money stuff. But first, I would also like to invite Ida to come up to the stage. I missed the opportunity to meet with Ida in person in New York City NFT. It was just so busy, but I'm so glad she accepted my invite to come up to the stage. We'll speak with Miss Ida, and then we'll speak with Chris. And welcome, Miss Ida. How are you? Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you join us. How have you been, and have you recovered from New York?
Oh, hello, everyone, and thank you, Sandy June. You're amazing. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me. I have recovered. Well, the better question would be, have you recovered from your children? And no, I have not, because, One of them slept next to me all night, and I've barely had any sleep. So, but I'm happy to be here. I made my coffee, and I'm ready for this wonderful space.
Okay, I just want to settle the confusion. There's a beautiful profile of a woman that says Ida Bell. So, could you please give us an introduction and explain that to our audience so we know what's going on there?
Well, I am a woman. I'm a trans woman. My voice may sound like may sound male, stereotypically male to some. Well, that may explain why some of you may find the voice male because it's stereotypically male. But yeah, other than that, there's nothing else that would trigger anyone's curiosity, I guess.
Okay, thank
I'm
you so
happy to
much,
be here.
Ida.
You're welcome.
We are open to everyone and blockchain and freedom, and we just want to be respectful. And I just wanted to just give you a chance to, yeah, there is nothing strange going on, but I just wanted to give you a chance to present yourself. And I love your spaces. I recently, many of you know about Clubhouse. I never really had the opportunity to hang out in Clubhouse. So I got introduced into Clubhouse in Ida's Clubhouse. And so I'm so delighted. So, Ida, please tell us about your NFT journey and how you came into crypto or NFT, and also about your artistic journey. You have some beautiful art on Object, on Tezos. So this is a chance for you to, I know you're an avid collector, you do a lot of things, you're building a great community. So this is your chance to just tell us in your words what you want us to know about you, because Crypto Canvas Chronicles is about documenting the truth of what's happening during this amazing time. And thanks to Terra Spaces, we do record these spaces professionally. So down the line, future generations are going to want to know, hey, what happened? Who were these people? How did NFTs come into being? And how the heck did crypto ever get started? So please take this time to share with us what's important to you. Thank you.
How my journey started was like most people, I got curious about certain animal pictures going around social media. CryptoPunks, very simple, pixel art going around social media, and news of them being sold for like millions of dollars. And well, that made me curious. Why would a pixelated JPEG, or well, at the time I thought it was just a simple JPEG, was being sold at such high prices. So that made me interested in the whole NFT concept. I read about it. I read about blockchain decentralization and all that. I already knew some about it, but I never even approached the subject because I had a business running, and I was working with a lot of different countries, and I was up in my mind, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency was associated with money laundering, terrorism and that sort of thing. So I knew about Bitcoin when it was a dollar or even less, but sadly, I stayed away from it. In spite of my interest, I stayed away from it because it was associated with all sorts of things, with terrorism and the mafia, money laundering, and that sort of thing. So I unfortunately missed out on all the big profits. But when it was more mainstream, animal pictures came up, and monkey pictures, and CryptoPunks, and all that, I realized it's becoming more mainstream. I got to know about NFT NYC. I was like, wow, okay. If in North America there are big events celebrating NFTs and decentralization and the blockchain, so it's probably okay to enter this area now. I mean, it's probably okay to buy some cryptocurrency and see what happens, and buy some NFTs. But that was too late because, when I entered the NFT space, it was already called, quote unquote, the bear market. I remember in 2022 when I first to my when I went to my first NFT NYC, when I was lining up, there was a big line. Unlike this year's NFT NYC, it was a very busy one. So I lined up and I could overhear people saying, like, why would anyone buy an NFT right now in this bear market? And they were right, because whatever I bought at that time, I lost tons of money on them, and I wish I had waited until now to buy those very same NFTs. So long story short, sorry, you asked me about my journey. So the most important part of my journey started when I incidentally on
My
Clubhouse,
apologies.
yeah,
I don't know if Ida, you're speaking. I think I'm rugging. Give me a thumbs up if you're speaking, Ida. Okay, you were speaking. My bad, my bad. Could I ask you?
we can hear her, Sandy.
Okay, so you know what? I'm going to turn on my computer so you can continue, and then I'm going to ask you to jump down and come back up so I can hear you, but I can listen to you from my computer. Please continue, Ida. Sorry.
If you don't, if I don't know how this works, because I don't spend a lot of time in Twitter spaces. I'm not so sure how it works. If I move to the listeners area and then I move back up, will it solve the problem? Because I'd be happy to do that. I don't want you to miss any of this if you're like switching between a mobile phone and a computer. Does anyone know if I should move down to the audience and then come back up?
Okay, Ida, I just
Oh,
heard you on the
you.
computer. There's a lag.
Okay,
You jump
wonderful. Okay,
down to
great.
listener, and then I'll give you an invite to come back up as a speaker. Okay, let's just take a moment for that.
Can you hear me now?
And you can remove yourself. If you click on yourself, say remove as speaker. There we go. And then come back up. Yes, we work around it. And that's the thing about Clubhouse is the technology in Clubhouse is a lot smoother. And so I realize that now after being in Clubhouse. Thank you for putting up with me, Ida, and coming back up. So yeah, I like your Clubhouse situation better, but you know what? We're gonna have to do spaces there as well, probably. So I heard what you said, and you said you we're sorry you didn't get into it when Bitcoin was less than a dollar. Of course, hindsight is 2020, but you know it's still so early when you think about the level of adoption of how many people are actually in crypto. It's still you're early, but I think you're also on time because I see people like if you look in the audience, head of marketing for Corium Community. We have DAOs now, and we have people with experience who are collectors who understand what's happening, projects that are built. So it's, yeah, you're kind of early, but I think you're also on time. And so there's still plenty, and we're going to be going into a huge bull market based on those of us who've been in here for 4 years. You know, we're seeing these waves and we're understanding, but there's something else going on too. You know, 4 years ago, the Cosmos ecosystem didn't have this incredible marketplace for NFTs, and even the Tezos blockchain wasn't built like this. So it's a different scene, and we're moving forward faster. Yesterday, I translated for the blockchain Stargaze because their NFT platform is actually like the number one in the Cosmos ecosystem as far as like how much money they make. And they've onboarded two Persian artists. And they were showcasing calligraphy. And so there's a lot of interest, there's a lot of money, and we're connecting and it's growing. And this artist had only taken her 5 months to go from a master class in calligraphy in Tehran to being showcased in the number one NFT platform in the Cosmos ecosystem. And of course, you know, connectivity was difficult, but I understood and I had a sheet of paper ready with who she was and what the, you know, story was, and the space happened. So things move very quickly. Connecting with Ida was like really magical. And I saw, you know, what happened at NYC and what's going on with Tezos. And so, yeah. And by the way, we have special tributes that we make our guests who come to our show. We create a stamp. Nazita is a Iranian rug designer and maker. And with her help collaboration, we collaborate together with the design and we create these memorial stamps for you. So Ida, now that I can hear you, what's the plan? What's going on? What is next and what is happening this year? What's on your list of to do and what you would like to see happen in this space?
Well, just before I answered the second question, I was about to finish my answer to the first question by saying how passionate I am about generative art. Like, that's my main thing in NFTs. But again, I appreciate all forms of art, from, you know, physical art minted as NFTs to music NFTs to all sorts of experiences, even VR experiences as NFTs. I admire and appreciate all sorts of them. I collect all sorts of art, but generative art is my main domain. I have a background in computer engineering, so I appreciate the complexity and the beauty of the code. So that's and that's a beautiful intersection of technology and art. So I appreciate that a lot. I hope that the passion for generative art never dies. That's the, genuinely what I'm hoping for. So in terms of what I'm going to do, one of the things that I appreciate about this space, about the NFT space, is the human communities built around it. Like every time I'm probably losing money on all of the NFTs that I have collected that are, you know, community centered NFTs, like based on just building a community, like the classic OpenSea collections, the blue chips, they're all not financially interesting, but what's interesting about them is the annual events or events that they have all over the world. You get to meet people, you see artists, you get to know artists, and you talk to them. Just hanging out with them is the beauty of this space for me right now. In the future, I hope to see more adoption. I think what I hope to see is to see NFTs and crypto and basically the blockchain becoming more mainstream. I want to see Warpcast specifically replace Twitter 100%. I want Twitter gone, and I want Warpcast to take its place and become mainstream. And I want Warpcast to be the new social media for everyone, not only crypto people and Web3 people. That's my dream, and that would be amazing. And again, I'm also hoping to see generative art appreciated and acknowledged in mainstream art museums and galleries around the world. It already has, like MoMA is displaying and has displayed, I guess, some generative art. Georges Pompidou in Paris has done that. There was a fantastic generative art event at Georges Pompidou recently. They even had a live music performance, a DJ that performed against his own code in Georges Pompidou for the first time in his history. In Orsay in Paris is also doing that. That was in Orsay, not Georges Pompidou. But both of them have generative art, which is really cool. So that's what I'm hoping to see more of in the future. You know, it would be amazing to see the world recognize the blockchain and generative art.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ida. And I do love generative art myself. And Chris down there in the listener section, he is a major film person in the blockchain who is making headway with AI film. And there is a lot of changes happening. And guess what, Ida? The part about you not making money, that's one of the reasons we're actually doing these spaces. I teamed up with Chris. So my co-host, Chris, has a great project where he involves artists, and it also is based around gaming. and chances and winning money and Tao. So I was one of the first people that I was invited to do collaboration for my artwork for, you know, these are AMA fighters that people watch. And so, and what I wanted to say was, I love the art too, but I got into it from the crypto. And because of the DeFi and my literacy about the crypto, I was able to create an investment to go forward with creating a fund to collect art. Because like you say, if you're just collecting art, that's not necessarily an investment. You're just, you know, accumulating a lot of art. So I thought it is possible to create a financial wellness, financial well-being, if you take the time to become literate. And if you don't understand it, you can learn and you can team up with people who've been successful in this realm. So that's part of what our journey is, because, you know, for me, the art is so crucial. Is I want the art to live and I want blockchain to become adopted. And again, I say this a lot, state of California is beta testing the Tezos blockchain for the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles. So for sure, this literacy is being adopted and used. So I thank you so much that you're passionate. And I definitely, please post, you know, in the nest or down below your links, everyone, especially Ida. I did put your pinned post up in the nest. And people may have questions for you. And I'd like to give the mic to Chris, because I know he's got quite a few things to say. Please, Chris, go ahead, take the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. Ida, very nice to meet you. My name is Chris. I'm the creator at Fight Farm. It's a collection that's kind of a utility-based NFT here on OmniFlix. Glad to see you here. I hope that you really stick around and check out some of the different platforms available to you in Cosmos. We've really tried to recruit and show people over on Tezos. While we all still love Tezos, I think, you know, as artists, there are other platforms out there that can really give you some additional tools, especially when it comes to like OmniFlix TV, where you can like show videos to help build your community. They also have things like gated access. So when you start to sell your NFTs to your customers and create your community, you can have videos or different messaging apps and things like that, where they can only access that via your NFTs. And of course, we have DAOs coming up here shortly. But yeah, there's OmniFlix, there's Stargaze. We just had a new one launched on Archway's blockchain called Amber.xyz. So if you ever have questions about anything in Cosmos as far as NFTs or DeFi or their wallets, feel free to follow me, DM me. I'll do my best to try to help you. Glad to see you here. I would love to see some of your work end up over here in the Cosmos as well. And as far as you being late, I would say that you're actually earlier than you think. I know when people come to crypto, it feels like you're always late. I'll tell you, I started in 2012 and I first heard about Bitcoin in 2010. So even in 2012, I thought, oh no, I'm late. I'm buying Bitcoin for $75 or $100 or $300. And you always feel like you're late. But in reality, the amount of people who still look at, like you said, at blockchain as a scam, or they buy into the government propaganda that it's only for thieves and terrorists and drug dealers and all the negative things, the same things they said about the internet when the internet first launched in the early 90s, late 80s. So just consider that, you know, and I would encourage you, as someone who seems like you're newer, don't let the bear market blues and your entry in a bear market really dictate what the space can be for you. If you've got the talent and you've got what appears to be a good attitude, and a good spirit of community building, I think you can do big things. So I'm cheering for you. Can't wait to see what you have to offer. And like I said, feel free to reach out to me if you ever need anything. And then as far as being new, I always tell the newest people when I meet them in the space, make sure you're allocating. It's good to go back to dollars. I know we all have bills to pay, but once you finally start to turn a profit, like, don't be scared to allocate some money to Bitcoin, to certain things in DeFi. And of course, you have to learn about those things along the way, and not all of them can be winners. But we're so early that I really, really, really think that the more NFT people start to learn about the actual crypto side, it's going to fund your actual ability to focus on doing what you want to do down the road. So good luck. Very nice to meet you. Look forward to seeing some of your art, and If you have any questions, feel free to ask them. If you have anything else to say, I'll pass the mic back to you.
Thank you, Chris. Likewise, it was lovely to meet you, and I will check out your website and your products and what you've done. It sounds very interesting. I'm not a great crypto investor. I have attempted, but I joke about it often. I say there's a bot chip implanted in my brain that snipes all time highs. Like I literally snipe all time highs just before they. I mean, a lot of people say that, but I have, you know, I can prove to you that I've done that. So I'm not a great crypto investor, but I'm absolutely passionate about art, about Bitcoin. What I've done recently is I've been looking at ordinals. I find them very interesting. You know, I've bought a few ordinals, and there seems to be a lot of liquidity in ordinals and some interesting projects coming up. But that's I'm observing. I'm waiting to see what happens.
That's awesome. And I do have a question for you. You said your background was in computer science and that you heard about it earlier, but some of the fear factor and associations kind of kept you away. But as someone who has that background, like, did you see the value proposition of Bitcoin and crypto early? Did you understand it? And if so, what are the things that you think could be improved upon now that you're here and you're new? Because sometimes when you come in late, you're getting a version of crypto that you wouldn't have had some of the perks that you see today if you came in 2010, 2012, 14, 15, 16. Things have improved drastically over time, but you know, people come in today and they're still like, you know, it's pretty hard, it's a big learning curve. So what was your initial first time you ever heard of Bitcoin? Like, what did you think, considering your background? And then what do you think could be improved upon today to make it easier to onboard?
Well, I didn't look into it enough. I heard about it and I was fascinated by the fact that it's a financial tool that is independent from regulators. And you know, running my non-NFT or non-Web3 business, I've always struggled with regulatory restrictions. Banks, you know, being born in Iran has always been a pain. Even though I have never done any business with that country, I have spent nearly all of my adulthood outside of Iran, and but the skepticism I see in banks and financial institutions, as soon as they see my birthplace, and totally discouraged me to even consider Bitcoin for a second, because they are already skeptical of people born in Iran. So if a person who's born in Iran invests in something so questionable that is already associated with money laundering and all sorts of dark things. So I stayed very far from it, just as I always stayed very far from doing any kind of business with Iran. So Iran and Bitcoin were the same for me. I thought, doing any kind of business investing in Bitcoin is just as bad as doing any sort of business with Iran. That's basically the reason I stayed away from it, because I was always being kind of watched for that. So I stayed away. But again, even now, while I appreciate what cryptocurrency giving the power to the people and taking it away from the traditional financial institutions, at the same time, I think we need to do a little more to make sure that bad guys don't control crypto, like Iran. The Iranian government is a bad guy technically. So I want to see what we can do technologically to make sure that people still control that financial power. They are still independent from financial institutions, but at the same time, I don't want these bad players to take advantage of that, because they are very smart and they know how to manipulate a cryptocurrency to their advantage and to do bad things with cryptocurrency. And I'm sure they're doing it. So at the same time, I understand why there are so many KYC processes around the world, why they block accounts, why OpenSea blocked accounts, why whatever. I understand that because we don't have a good way to make sure cryptocurrency stays clean. Iran, China, all of these countries, they have a lot of questionable operations in on the blockchain. And one way to make cryptocurrency mainstream is to make sure that these bad players stay out of it without taking ordinary people's privileges away from them. That's what needs to be done in this space, I believe.
Well, you know, I understand some of those concerns. And I think most people, when they come into crypto, no one wants bad people to use crypto or technology to do a bad thing. But traditionally, you will notice that, you know, criminals are usually the first to adopt new technologies, whether it's the internet or any type of technology, because they're always trying to outrun law enforcement and laws and all that kind of stuff. So there is a balancing act. And I think you're right. When it comes to you said that you didn't want to see people's bad usage of crypto hurt people, like good people's ability to use crypto. The good thing about that is that it can't, right? There are things that regulators and law and nations can do, but blockchains that are actually decentralized and run on their own, could they block the on-ramps and off-ramps that would keep you from converting fiat dollars or euros into crypto or from crypto back to your dollars? Of course. But the good thing about crypto is they can't stop you from using it. If you want to sell a good or service for Bitcoin, for Tezos, for Flix or any crypto, that's the power of crypto, is even if the bad people use it and even if they can regulate and reach and impact you in certain ways, they can't totally stop it. And the ways they would have to do to totally stop it, they're incentivized not to do those things. So glad to hear your opinions. I like to hear everyone's thoughts on it. And it sounds like you're on the right track and you're learning. And I like where the direction you're going. And if you ever have questions and bigger thoughts or conversations you want to have about crypto in general, not necessarily NFTs, feel free to reach out. We host spaces on that kind of stuff all the time as well. Sandy?
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you, Ida. And you know what? We need a whole new set of words to describe what's happening. People need to understand words like, you know, validators, liquidity, proposals, governance, decentralized autonomous organizations, staking, APRs. So there's a lot of words that represent a lot of important concepts. and a lot of the artists, you know, they understand, okay, this is crypto, this is art. And then the deeper you go, it's very complex because you're like, oh, this is good. It's decentralized. You know, there are validators all around the world. You know, you can't just blow up one country and take the blockchain down. And then you get deeper into it. And you're like, there's only a certain number of validators and they get to vote what happens for the money. And then deeper down, it turns out sometimes things are crooked, like you said, Ida. So how do we get around that? Well, that's why we need the experts. And there's a lot of watchdogs who are watching these accounts, because that is the thing about blockchain, is the transparency where you see where the money is flowing. And so now that we have literate people doing these things, people who don't have the literacy for this can find communities that are successful, that are doing well, and that have a reputation, right? It's like, dude, I don't know how to build a Corvette, but I can drive that sucker really fast from A to B, right? Crypto is kind of the same thing. You want to be able to get in a car, get your art on a platform, or put your money somewhere and get results. And and we all expect, like, you know, like you said, you buy at the top of the, you know, you buy at the height. Okay, yeah, there's people who do that. But sometimes it also, you know, gives meaning. Like I kicked myself for not buying the token Akash, which was like 20 cents in 2022 when I went to Colombia. And then it went up to like $3. And I'm like, I could just shoot myself. I met Dean Treble. I met the guy who created the blockchain.
What's wrong with me? You know, because at the time there was so much happening and I made a lot of notes and I didn't follow up with some of the things that I should have. But then there were other things I jumped on and I did. So we always feel like Chris said, we always feel like we're late. Anyway, that being said, I'm so glad you came. Your concerns are 100% the concerns that we all have. We want the art to be adopted. We want transparency. We want legitimate places. And as an Iranian like yourself, I am a U.S. citizen, Ida, but in my U.S. passport, it still says I was born in Iran. I'm still subjected to certain scrutiny in whatever I do. That is a mark that is on there, and it becomes a privilege because to have the FBI want to interview me to give a background check for somebody that I, you know, have raised since he was 8 years old because now he needs high clearance in our government. Yeah, I'm there. So, you know, it's okay that we get scrutinized. A lot of the Iranians and people who have difficulty in this life, if they've been patient enough to establish themselves, we have also been recognized as peacemakers, right? I mean, come on, guys. World War II was settled in Iran. The leaders of the world met in Iran and settled World War II. A lot of you don't know history, okay? So Iran and the Iranian people have been involved and everything that's happening politically, financially, because of our geopolitical positions. And once again, we're here on the blockchain, and we want to take this over to the money part. And thank you, Ida. Please stick around. People may have questions. I'd like to introduce Chris, our other Chris, and he's going to tell us about what's going on with Corium Concepts and who is Chris. Welcome to our space. Thank you for your patience. Please unmute yourself, Chris.
Hey, Sandy, Chris, thanks for having me. I love your show, so it's quite an honor to be here. Ida, it was great to meet you here today. Fascinating insights from the Iranian perspective, and learned a lot, and it's a great segue, hopefully, for what I'm going to get into here today. So, yeah, thanks for having me. Great show so far.
Amazing, Chris. Now, it's your chance to tell us, how did you get into crypto? What's going on? And what should we be paying attention to? And what do you want to see happen in this space?
Sure. Well, my name is Chris. I got into crypto about 7-8 years ago now as a speculator, just looking for a better system. Obviously, I learned of Bitcoin far earlier than that and was enamored with the price action and the idea behind it. So I started just getting in as a speculator. And last about 2 years ago, I guess, just from being part of the XRPL ecosystem, eventually led me to Sologenic, which was just an airdrop, and Corium was eventually airdropped and created from the same team as Sologenic. And I was really interested in what they were doing, building Corium. It was hard to get information. The stuff that was there was very intriguing to me, but I could just never get enough. And just became frustrated with its general state of content creation and crypto content creation in YouTube. Hopium, all being an introvert, I decided to hell with all that. I started a YouTube channel to talk about the Corium ecosystem. I just seen it as a hub, you know, that's going to be developing a lot of projects, spawning a lot of activity and community from it. I kind of seen it as maybe the next Ethereum, possibly, you know, same idea. So I didn't look at it as just going to be creating Corium content and what they're doing, but researching and talking about everything that builds off of it. And I'm glad I did that. Certainly turning out to be just that and more as I went through this journey. But yeah, it's basically at the channel is just to capture my journey through this Web3 space as I became more involved on the, you know, just going from a speculator to, you know, digging into these projects and their communities. So then since then, started Aquarium Community DAO. We run a validator on the Aquarium network, and we have a Discord that see as a great hub of value and resources for building community and networking. And it's a big project, needs a lot of hands, but just building a solid foundation right now, trying to get that off the ground. So you can follow that at aquariumcommunitydao.com. And from that, we spawned the Superledger podcast, which runs every Sunday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern time. Again, capturing the Aquarium ecosystem, the XRPL ecosystem, the Cosmos IBC ecosystem, because they're all connected. And that's what Aquarium has done effectively. It's bridged the XRPL ecosystem and the Cosmos IBC ecosystem. So to me, that's a very powerful connection, and I see a lot of good things coming from that. So that's what the podcast is there. So it's meant for the community members. So if you're a builder, artist, just a community member with a project or a hobby that you want to bring into Web3, talk about it with people in our community, that's what it's for. So anybody's welcome to reach out and come on there. And part of the Aquarium Punks team and NFT project. So it was interesting the discussion earlier about NFTs. I see NFTs more as the functional side of it for DAOs and governance, finance. And though I've collected a lot of NFT for its art, I see it more as a networking marketing tool. Though I've definitely expanded, some artists have definitely caught my eye, and then you find yourself just buying some art. So it's interesting. But the important thing with that is I like to support the builders, and that's great about the NFTs. Even though a lot of it's artist based, they're really the ones that are pushing this technology and seeing what it can do and building very large communities and infrastructure around it. So it's a very, very important to me that it might just be an artist selling a digital image, but they're part of the whole process of bringing this next system in line. We have Aquarium's going to be bringing out DAO tooling, Omniflix DAO tooling. So the Aquarium Community DAO, we envision a governance structure utilizing NFTs. So it's exciting. So I've just kind of transitioned from a speculator into trying to build community and educate people on what's going on in these ecosystems without trying to be one of those YouTube hopium dealers, I guess you can say. So it's been a wild ride, and you can head to my YouTube channel and see what that journey's look like. It started out with my cell phone on the kitchen table, and spent a few thousand dollars since then on computers and programs and microphones and all kinds of stuff. So it's been a fun ride, and have a great community too that's supporting me. So it's been really good, and it's found my way to your show here today.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. You are so much more than that. And I have an update for you with what's happening. Well, first of all, you're so humble what you're doing. So you're a validator for the Aquarium blockchain. So for people who don't know what that is, validators are the people who maintain the systems, and that requires hardware, software, and a lot of time and energy. And on top of that, you're also now considering NFTs as something beyond just something that is for financial things. And by the way, let me just back up. XRP being connected to the Cosmos ecosystem. Okay, so my very first dive into crypto was XRP. And for those people who may not remember or know about crypto, it became against the law to be able to buy XRP in the United States. XRP is one of the most important tokens after Bitcoin. For people who don't know, they need to go study about what is XRP. And so once I got wind of that, I for sure went after XRP, and they were held up in court for a long time. XRP and the Cosmos ecosystem from a crypto standpoint is a big endeavor. So, and then now you're also supporting communities like ours, OmniFlix. And for those of you who don't know, Chris is a collector of some of the artwork of Hiroyo, Monimal's son. He put his artwork on the OmniFlix blockchain, and he had kind of a sold out collection we promoted. And Chris was one of the people who supported that collection. Well, guess what? Hiro went on and bought a bicycle. He made a video about it, and he posted a video, a thank you video, to the people who helped him. So there's a kid in Indonesia who's got a bike. He made a video. And so here's the update. There was a kid in India who saw the video of the kid in Indonesia who got the bike because he made NFTs on the blockchain. And that kid put on his collection of Minecraft artwork, which I love, which I've been telling my son to do, which my son is not doing because he has my credit cards. But the kid in India, my son is spending money in Minecraft. And I'm like, dude, this is so cool. Why don't you take these screenshots and make a collection? I can totally teach you. Nope. So anyway, Chris, that, you know, and you never know how far your reach is when you're doing something and building something. So now this is kind of taking a life of its own. I don't know what's going to happen with this Minecraft collection on OmniFlix, but the Chronicles has already collected. We're going to post about it, and we're going to make a video about the artwork we're collecting. And so this is kind of an organic growth. And, you know, whatever the bad guys are doing, you know, the good guys are also going to be using these systems to build their communities. And I just think it's grand to have a kid be able to buy a bicycle, you know? And so thank you, Chris, for sharing that. And I encourage everyone to check out Chris, his YouTube video, and also pay attention to what's happening over there, because DAOs are important, and DAOs are a place where if you do get involved in the community, you have voting rights. I've myself have gotten into DAOs, and they're on different blockchains. And it's interesting because DAOs also go and buy artwork, and they invest. Some DAOs do that as well. So this is something that kind of crosses over, you know, they, you know, if you're an artist, you get your artwork in the DAO, and then people who are only there for the finance, they're going to see your artwork. You know, they may get an airdrop, and then they may go after your art, because this is the bridge that's being built. So if there's anything else you'd like to share, Chris, I'd like to give the mic over to the other Chris, because I'm sure he's got some hard questions for you. Please take it away, Chris, my co-host.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, sorry.
We got you, Chris.
As soon as I picked up my phone to unmute myself, I unplugged it from my car, so I lost my microphone for a second. Chris, great to have you. For those that don't know, Chris and I have had a relationship for quite some time. He showed up randomly in some OmniFlix spaces. I didn't really know what Corium, the token, was. I had seen it over on Osmosis on the DEX, and I probably looked at it and thought, oh, another L1. Who cares, right? So many L1 smart contract chains. It's like, you know, you got to wait and see which ones are going to do what probably before you throw money at them. But Chris was interested in my collection and my game, and he actually reached out to me to do a podcast on his show, on his YouTube, I believe. And he was also looking to create OmniFlix TV content. So we had a chat and we were talking, and he was really covering Fight Farm. And at the end, I asked him, hey, tell me a little bit about Corium while you're on. And the one thing I did not know was that XRP and the bridge between XRP and the Cosmos was their main focus, right? And for those that don't know, XRP has been around. I think when I got into crypto, XRP had just launched shortly after. I know that I bought XRP at such a cheap price. And I know that I sold it and made money on it in 2017. And then I kind of went back and forth on it. But the one thing that you can say about XRP is, besides Bitcoin, it's probably the longest running crypto that has stayed in the top 10 on CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko since the beginning of crypto. For the longest time, the number two, probably Litecoin. And of course, when Ethereum came along, Ethereum has come up there. The other interesting thing is XRP is one of the only cryptos that flipped ETH for that number two spot, I believe. So that's how important the liquidity of XRP is. Now, many people will shout, well, XRP is a bank coin. It's all about regulations. It's against the, it's the antithesis of crypto and who cares and blah, blah, blah. That could be true. You don't necessarily have to like the ideology or be aligned with the ideology to see the value proposition of what they're trying to do and why they've been along, been in the space for so long. But the one thing I will say that is important for those who are new and listening, the reason that Corium is such a big deal and the reason that Chris became so passionate and started doing content around Corium is because he realizes the value that XRP could have off of the XRP ledger, the XRPL as he called it, because they really didn't have a lot of things you could do with XRP. It was a speculator's token. They were trying to get involved with banks and being the rails for banks and cross-border transactions. So really, for years and years and years, all XRP holders could do is speculate on price. And that's a very frustrating thing, because if all you're looking at is number go up and you're not Bitcoin, eventually that becomes kind of a stale kind of thing. And even look at Bitcoin, like with ordinals and DeFi and certain things going to Bitcoin now, even Bitcoin is probably ahead of what XRP is. Now, XRP did add a DEX. They did have some things that they were working on. They did have some NFTs with Sologenic. But Chris, what would you say the feeling is from the XRP community now? Now that we've seen the bridge live, we see a little bit of liquidity. Because people, that's the important thing here. If even a small percentage of the liquidity that exists in XRP, that value, if it moves across that bridge and it lands on Corium and it moves throughout the cosmos, that's a large amount of money that's being used on DEXs and DeFi platforms and to buy NFTs and to borrow against. There's many, many, many things that XRP can do over here that it cannot do on its home chain. So, Chris, what would you say the idea from the average XRP holder is it starting to take hold? Are we starting to see value move across the bridge in a large manner? What's your take on it? And do you have any stats or anything you could share as far as that goes?
Yeah, you bet. I'll do my best. Before I get into that, I'd just like to expound on what Sandy was saying and give proper credit on that young lad's NFT collection. That all came about because that young lad and his mother were on this very podcast, and I was quite moved by the conversation, which encouraged me to go to check out the collection a few days later. And I just seen that it was a fairly, I'm not a wealthy person, so it was a fairly modest amount that enabled me to buy up the rest of this collection. And not being an NFT collector, I didn't even know if that was, you know, going to be a good thing or a bad thing for the artist. And in fact, reach out to Sandy to inquire about that. I didn't want to do the artist any disservice by doing that. But yeah, it became a very powerful story and one that I'm eagerly following its progression, because it's these conversations that plant seeds and can develop into very powerful things. So I want to give Sandy and Chris full credit on that one, because that's came from this show itself. So. But to your question, Chris, yes, Corium Bridge went live end of March, bridging the Cosmos and ecosystem in the XRP ledger. And the AMMs on the XRPL were going live around the same time and unfortunately had some issues that required a fix. So that kind of went quiet for a few weeks. The Corium Bridge was live, functioning well, and about 1.2, 1.3, around that area, million XRP bridged over into Corium, into the Pulsera DeFi product on Corium. And I honestly didn't track the stats very closely. I do know XRP also ended up on Osmosis, but I don't know to what amount. But anyway, since then the AMMs have come, the fix has been done, and those pools have accumulated over 4 million XRP. So some of that XRP has flowed back, you know, utilizing that same powerful two-way bridge that Corium built. So some of that has moved back onto the XRP ledger. The XRP community fairly divided on on the Corium project, I guess you could say, right from the get-go since its announcement. Unfortunately, a lot of people kind of drew their lines in the sand way back then. The technology is now starting to expose some that are more willing to look outside the XRPL ecosystem for opportunities. It's getting their attention now. I think bids.com going live soon, the first NFT marketplace on the Corium network. I think that'll really expose a lot of long-term XRPL project builders to what can really be done utilizing that technology, bringing XRPL assets, because it's not just XRP that can come over on this bridge, it's any XRPL asset. So that's a pretty powerful tool if you're a project on the XRPL with no exposure to smart contracts or anything like that, to be able to bridge your token over and get full exposure to DeFi, smart contracts, and Corium and IBC. So yeah, it's been very positive. Like I mentioned earlier, Corium Community DAO, we run a validator on the network. We also run a part of the bridge infrastructure, a relayer for that. So yeah, it's all been working very well. And I kind of said it earlier, there wasn't a lot of information on Corium when it came out, and I was very curious about it. And back then, like I said, as a speculator, your mind's like always trying to, you know, find that hidden gem and get on something early. And it was easy to get involved because this project was just airdropped to me based on my XRP and Sologenic holdings. So, you know, it wasn't that I had to get into this with a risky investment. I had a bag of Corium that was just given to me, and I just wanted to know, like, hey, should I just be selling this? Like, I had 100 other XRPL shitcoins come and go that I probably should have sold when they were worth even a little bit. But I stuck with it, and I never sold any of my Corium, even though there's times in the markets where I, you know, probably could have done myself some good by doing some trading. But I just said, you know what, this is a project I think I'm in early, and I'm gonna, you know, just kind of dollar cost average in and continue to build on my free tokens they gave me, because I think they're building something cool here. And if I'm right, I'm going to look like a genius, right? And if I'm wrong, I'm not really out a whole bunch. Now I'm a little bit overcommitted with the YouTube channel, but yeah, I think as it came closer here, it's actually exceeding my expectations. The bridge that they've built is a very powerful tool, and I don't think most people even realize it yet. I think we're still pretty early on that too. So yeah, I think, you know, it'll come, but yeah, I don't think the XRPL ecosystem fully appreciates what's been built quite yet.
Yeah, and you know, they don't necessarily have to. If different blockchains like Corium and other blockchains in the ecosystem build things that utilize and whitelist and allow XRP to be used, whether it's lending platforms over on Archway, LP pools on Astroport on Archway. I've heard some rumors. I've seen some talk, especially with the Lunar Space team doing their money raise over there on AstroVault. But yeah, the XRP community doesn't necessarily have to. You want them to, because the majority of them are holding XRP, right? But they don't necessarily need to, because Cosmos people, that's the cool thing about this ecosystem, is if we see a profit motive or an incentive of some sort to go purchase XRP and then bridge it back across, and then utilize it in some way in the Cosmos, that's awesome. So it's kind of going to be going into my next question, Chris. It seems like Corium, the chain, is like the landing place for XRP when you bridge it over. However, it's early. You're right. We're so early. It's still, like, you know, just past the Bitcoin halving, and typically the bull market won't be until the calendar year after, starting more likely later in this year, 6 months after the halving. So a lot can change in the next 6 months to a year and a half in this bull cycle, right? If the previous trends follow. I would think that many, many, many places that want liquidity, they want people to use their DEX, they want people to use their lending platform. Many of them, once they realize that XRP is in the Cosmos, may start to offer incentives and reasons for you to use XRP. Does Corium benefit just from XRP landing there? Do they have to do something like using it on Pulsera or different DEXs or NFT platforms, do they have to retain XRP there for the Core M token to have any value? Or do they benefit just from the bridging? Are there fees associated that go back to the Core M token? Like, what drives the value of the Core token itself? And even if that liquidity moves off into the rest of Cosmos, does Core M still maintain its value as long as it's the gateway for XRP to enter this ecosystem?
Yeah, those are great questions. And I see it as Core M just like the hub, right? And it's that's the value. It's that, you know, like we've said, that's a massive amount of liquidity and wallets, like people, like 5 million XRPL wallets, right? Like Core M network has 6,000 people delegating staking to secure the network right now. So, you know, you compare 5 million wallets to 6,000 wallets securing this network, that's a massive amount of liquidity. So if you can get that liquidity here or flowing through, I mean, it just gives plenty of incentive for other projects, developers to want to be here and take advantage and utilize that liquidity for their projects, whether it be an NFT collection, whether it be a Web2 solution or DeFi or whatever. So I think that Core M gets its value from building this hub. And, you know, like once everything's fairly interoperable, and it is, you know, like I said, that's a big connection that they just made. And you know, and to understand the scope of it, like Core M's a new blockchain, just over a year old. And the Pulsera just launched, you know, months ago, and it's got just over 3 million total value locked up on it. So if you look at the size and scope of the XRPL ledger, since the AMM pools went up, you got 4 million in XRP locked up. So that's roughly $2 million just for quick, easy math of XRP liquidity. Match that with whatever it's paired up with. So, you know, $4 million, like that whole pool of liquidities, only put $4 million, $5 million worth of liquidity into those AMM pools. Whereas you have Pulsera, this little new DAX that's run by community governance, you know, it's already, you know, 3.5 million. So I think that's the value is just being that actual hub. And then once those tokens, like I said, they have reasons to come over. You're going to see OnXRP was one of the last tokens that was put on the Pulsera DAX there. It's going to be part of the bids.com ecosystem. They're going to take their XRPL token, bring it here, and actually utilize, I'm assuming, I don't know exactly what their intentions are, but just based on the white paper and interviews that I've done, is they're going to, you know, utilize the Core M smart token technology to enhance their current project that's started and still on the XRPL ecosystem. It's going to exist on both. So yeah, I think that's where the value to Core M comes.
Awesome. And do you feel like, because XRP has been around for so long, and you know, we won't call it a stable coin, but it's tokens, XRP is pretty much, what's the issuance on XRP, Chris? Is it 100% or is it a large percent? I know there's still some, I think, held by the foundations and stuff, but how much is out there? It's not proof of stake, so you don't have to worry about being debased by a issuance rate like we do in proof of stake when you're staking. Could you say that enough of it is issued that it's stable enough that maybe it has an advantage over something, say, like Osmosis? Every time Osmosis moves up or down, it seems like the Cosmos follows. Anyone that listens to Scott over in the podcast, he comments on that a lot. And one of the things I loved about AXV over on AstroVault is that I think it's going to compete with Osmosis and give you better pairings, and you'll maintain better value when you pair with something, because the tokenomics behind AXV seem more, in my opinion, better. So I look for pairs in places where I feel like I'm not going to get lopsided when I'm pairing up and providing liquidity, and I don't want to be displaced massively with rewards, especially rewards that are just being dumped in the value. Isn't that, I think that's the problem. I mean, we all love Osmosis, but man, that DEX is just awful when it comes to certain things. And I don't think they did a good job fixing their tokenomics. So I guess what my question is given what we see with Osmosis and some of its issues, at least the perceived issues by many of us, and then you have competitors coming along, whether it's Shade over on Shadeswap on Secret, you have Kajira doing their thing, which provides pretty good DEX. You now have AXV. You're starting to see that ecosystem flourish as far as competitors. I think Corium pairs and maybe Sarah pairs are good, but really I think that the trick for Corium may be the XRP pairs, because XRP is so established and you're just not going to have the same debasement and some of the same issues that you get from proof of stake coins. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's something I'm watching, right? So the big difference is there, Chris, like Osmosis is generating new tokens to reward these pools, right? So it's like an inflationary thing, whereas on the XRPL, there is no reward token, right? So you're providing liquidity. Your only income or revenue from providing liquidity is just based off the fees completely. Right. And so they have kind of a unique auction mechanism. So, you know, if you're a market maker, you know, you can get no fees for 24-hour period, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that, you know, that's also part of, you know, that's supposed to be like the secret sauce to kind of offset not having a rewards token. That's why I don't think those assets are as tied to the price movement as much as they would be on Osmosis, because, you know, Osmosis is, you know, continually distributing those tokens as its reward mechanism, whereas there is no reward mechanism other than the user fees for using the swaps on the pool. So I see that's a big difference there. But that's why I think I agree with a lot of what you said. However, it's I think that's why I'm really interested in what Eric's building with AXV there too, is because you know, the tokenomics is a key thing, right? You know, so I think that's what's hurting Osmosis, you know, is its tokenomics. And AXV has a different model. It's interesting. I can't say I fully understand it. I'm actually looking forward to having Eric and Henry on the podcast here this Sunday to learn more about it. And they got a demo out I'm going to dive into too, about their outbid launch here. But it's, yeah, I think you're right. I think what they're doing is potentially going to be, you know, the better path forward as far as DeFi from what I'm seeing so far. And then that being said, I'm curious too, like at Balsera, you know, in my mind, you know, and obviously it depends on the tokenomics of Pulsera. It's gone through two of its four scheduled airdrops. You know, the price has taken some pressure here since the second airdrop, so there's two more to come. You know, at what point does providing liquidity on Pulsera you know, become better or worse than what you can do on the XRPL AMM pools? And I haven't put in anything in the AMM pool, so I'm not familiar personally with the returns on that. But just from a distance right now, if you're, you know, have an XRP Corium pair on going, I think Pulsera is probably your best bet at the moment. Exactly. But I think if Colyarium gets on AXV, I'd be interested to see how that looks.
Exactly. And that's what I was alluding to, Chris, is I feel like because both Pulsera token and Corium can be debased as you have the issuance of their tokens with proof of stake, you know, there's going to be some dumping pressure, and that's okay. We are so super early, like the masses still need to catch up with the ecosystem of Cosmos as a whole and the different chains in Cosmos before you see some of that selling pressure offset. But I think if the bull markets continue the way they were previously, and you have that volume and that liquidity come in, it should help these things, even though they don't have the best tokenomics. AXV, in my opinion, has better tokenomics. However, I was alluding to kind of what you said, Chris, where if I was on that exchange, I don't know that I would look at Sarah or even Corium pairs as much as I would as any token paired with XRP. And I hope that that really Pulsera utilizes XRP kind of like the Atom. I know you want to have value for your DEX token and for Corium, but to me, the true value over there is, man, if you pair it, the best pairs, I think, would be with XRP. And like you said, I'm excited to see XRP move throughout Cosmos, because I would love to see an AXV XRP pair. I think that's going to be a very stable pair that you can draw your interest, your APY, APR on. And yeah, you have a little bit of sell pressure potentially on the AXV side. However, their tokenomics and buyback structure and some of the things that they have are a little bit different than your average DEX or layer one token. I want to go ahead and wrap my segment up. I think I've taken up a lot of time. I'm going to finish off with one last quick question, Chris. I know that you were talking not to Sissel. I believe it was RJ or one of the other hosts on the Omniflix space a week or two ago. And you brought up the question about the relayer. For those that don't know, the reason IBC works is because you have relayers. The relayers allow you to send your token from one chain to another, even though you're not really sending it, you're kind of burning it and reminting it. But nonetheless, the validators are typically offering relayer services. And Chris has looked at doing that with Corium over to Omniflix. Did you get any answers from when you asked that question? Because I feel like they kind of pushed it aside a little bit, mainly because they said, hey, we've got other things going on that could actually cause an issue with, meaning they're not saying no, but it does look like before any big relayers between Corium and Omniflix were to happen, it looks like they have some things to tidy up on their end. I'm sure it has to do with their upgrades, their smart contracts, and the DAO and all that stuff launching. So did you get any answers you want on that? And what are you most excited to utilize the relayer for between Omniflix? And are you looking at other chains like Archway to relay for?
As the DAO, yes. To answer that one quickly, just because there's not much to add to that. But yes, obviously the long-term plan is to expand our services beyond the Corium network. And, you know, the XRPL bridge is just the first step in that journey. But, you know, we need to grow. You know, this is 100% self-funded, but me and my partners, 100%. So it's all out, nothing in at this point, or we're all the fees from the validator are just being held in treasury. Not one cent is being gone to the cost of running this validator. So yeah, in short, we're looking to expand, but we got to expand our resources before we take that on. And some of that is, you know, not just financial resources, but talent, right? You know, once you get to a certain level, like you got to start doing some of these things in house. So, and then to go back to, what was the start of your question? I kind of got sidetracked with the end of that one.
Did Omniflix give you, I know they said that they were going to reach out to Sisley and get some, did they give you any sort of qualification on what they meant? They kind of just sidestepped the question and said,
no. Back to you. Okay. Yeah, no. But so there was some, part of that there, yes, it's not just nobody has the time to do it. There is some technical implications, and the reason why I suspect that is I pursued right. This from both sides, not just the Omniflix side. So and then so what do I plan to utilize that for? Man, I'm so happy I found Omniflix. And there's some, you know, the reason why I found Omniflix, I mean, is because they have a validator on the Corium network. That's how I ended up in the space the very first time, where I met you speaking, Chris, and instantly became very excited about what Omniflix was doing, what you were building there, and since started putting content out on there. And that's a fantastic team to work with. I can't say well enough about the Omniflix team and how they help you along and push you along. So I need some pushing sometimes. So I got a little cocky here running my own show without a boss. It's fun having them coax me along to get stuff out there. But yeah, so I just seen the value in that. And so how do I plan on utilizing it? It's amazing to me. Like, I've been doing this channel for a year and a half, my YouTube channel. And you know, we have our network over on Discord and our community. But on Omniflix, I've been putting out a few CAF NFTs. That's our little robot from the Corium community DAO. And man, like, it's crazy. Like, the first collection went out like 1400 NFTs, like just within 24 hours. And OmniFlix had a campaign not long ago for the Flix fam there. I set the limits obviously too low. I set the limit at 500 NFTs, just, thinking of, our modest community size, and they're gone in 2 minutes. I didn't even get one. It's just a powerful tool, and I know they're going to be bringing in DAO tooling, and I run in Coin Community DAO. If I can get DAO tooling on OmniFlix before I can get it up on Corium, that is fine by me. I have no problem with that. I am very eager to get what we have envisioned here up and running and get our NFT governance structure in place. A lot of that's going to help this organization grow. So it's a very, very important tool. So yes, very, very interested in that for very important reasons in what we're doing. So I hope that answers your question with OmniFlix.
Awesome. Yeah, it does. I'm glad to see you there. Love watching your content. I love listening to your podcast. For those that don't know, Chris said he was a validator. We also have McKenzie in the audience. We have Corey and Punks. We have Marco. All those guys. I saw a few other more familiar faces as well. Marco has the CAF validator, and I'm not sure, does McKenzie also have a validator? But these guys have validators. So if you like what you hear and you want to support Chris, sending them a few tokens over to their validator and delegating to them is a big help for any validator. And if you want to see that relayer come to OmniFlix, you got to support. That's one of the reasons why I continue to choose CAF and Corium concepts as the place, or the Corium DAO as places where I delegate, is because I know they're doing things that benefit the community and benefit me. And they're things that I could potentially use. I launched a token to test over on Pulsera on the Corium network, the CBETS token. And it would be cool if that relayer worked so I could move that token back and forth between OmniFlix and Corium. So that's the power of what we're building. And that's the power of the kind of things that Chris and them are trying to do. So definitely show them your support and love. Chris, thanks for coming today. Thanks for giving us your time. Ida, thank you as well. I'm going to shush up a little bit and pass it back to Sandy.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Chris and Ida. It's been an amazing day. And we're about to get into our shill time where we don't require our special guest to continue staying. But however, before you all leave, I want to thank you, Ida. We have collected your beautiful artwork for the Crypto Canvas Chronicles Vault on Object. I will be airdropping the stamp to your OmniFlix wallet address when I've got that minted as a thank you token and a memorial, and also one for you, Chris. We covered a lot of the things that you talked about, the finance and the money stuff. We have to break all that down. What does that mean to delegate your token to these validators? Okay, there's a lot of people don't know what I just said. So in the Persian Telegram chat, we break this down so they understand it. Everybody understands math. Everybody understands money. And now that there's all these incredible things, right? These subways where tokens are sent, things get changed. And then we are the most powerful, the artists who are using these platforms. When somebody buys our art and we've got a bag of coins, maybe we're going to put a couple of those coins aside and put it on the Corium or McKenzie or Marco or all these other great projects that are doing really well. So it's our goal to educate you and bring these guests. And if you like what they're hearing, you follow up and then you continue to learn. And as you make your NFT sales and you can exchange your coins, you learn about these projects, you lock them up, you get rewards, and it does work. I'm not here just blowing smoke in the air, okay, because I've been doing it and I've got a bag and I'm going to build on that bag, and Chris is doing it. And this artwork that I all bought today, everything I've just bought right now, I just dropped a bunch of coins on Object. I mean, even the coins that came for Tezos, that didn't come from my Tezos a bag that came from the Cosmos ecosystem bag that I've been, you know, building with these different tokens. So now we're going to go into our fun stuff where we're going to buy art, because that's really why a lot of the artists are here. And thank you for posting in the bubble. And as you were going through there, I've already purchased some beautiful artwork. And I'd like to give you a chance, Ida, definitely stick around, but I'd like to give you a chance to say a few words now that you've heard the money talk. What is your impression now? Showed up in our space. What do you think now?
What do I think of? You mean the talks or the money aspect of this space? I never thought negatively about the potential and the possibility of making profit in this space. I never doubted it for a second. I was just confident about my inability to utilize this space for making profit. that was my doubt in myself, not the space at all. So I admire what these gentlemen have done, what they have built. I will have to go through what they've done to study them properly. And I'm really fascinated what's done. I thought that this space was, first of all, thank you for collecting an edition of my piece. That I did not expect that. This is probably the first time I've sold a one piece in a Twitter space. It's never happened before, so that was pretty cool. Thank you so much, Sandy. I did not expect it at all. I'm happy that one edition is in your collection. I am fascinated. I'm very interested, and I will definitely look into those things. Thank you.
Thank you, Ida. I had to go over to my computer again because I couldn't hear you directly. But just to, you know, let everybody know, this is not a show space. We're not trying to get anybody to spend any money doing anything. It is for learning and literacy. And we just want to give you the tools to feel confident. And definitely, like you said, Ida, you have to go check into it and to see if this is if this fits what your roadmap is for what you're doing in Web3. So thank you so much. I'm glad I'm the first one to be able to collect something during a Twitter space from your beautiful artwork. And I'm probably going to go after some more with my personal wallet later. And this has been one of my favorite spaces so far. You know, and each time it's different. We have different guests and we get a different perspective of what's happening in this Web3. And we're definitely here to connect. And one of the reasons, Ida, I actually got together with Chris to create this space and this time is because behind the scenes, as my friends and artist friends are making tokens with, you know, and they're asking me, okay, well, who should I stake with? What validator? And you know what? Then it no longer becomes decentralized, right? Then it's just me telling everybody who my validators are. And I didn't want to do that. I want this for people to understand so they can make their own decisions and put their money where they think it's going to grow. Yes, Chris, please go ahead. And then we're going to open up the space to show.
Yeah, just to piggyback on what Sandy, what you were saying, power to use NFT as a collateral and borrow a stablecoin against it, or the power to...
Hello, Chris, you're rugging. Sorry about that. Am I the only one who hears Chris rugging, or are you rugging, Chris?
No, he's rugging. I'll jump in real quick if that's okay while Chris is getting reset there. I just want to point out, if you want to learn about staking on Corium or any other proof of stake network and how that, what that means and involves, by all means, reach out. Love to help. You've got a whole community that's willing to help with things like that. I would like to stress what we have the Core Community DAO Discord, and what we want to build, you know, goes beyond that. It's I want to provide that hub of resources and networking capabilities, and we've already done that. So you don't have to be interested in Corium or staking on Corium to come by and get a lot of value from the space. We have a space for the IBC ecosystem. We have XRPL projects there. It doesn't matter what project you're for, you're in our community. So this isn't a silo, and we need more hands on deck. And every person that comes in brings their own little bit of value in some way to the overall community. Even if you're a person like me that was just a, you know, an old guy in a mountain, just a quiet, shy, didn't talk to anybody here, you know, a couple of years later, I find myself here. It's amazing what can happen when you surround yourself with a powerful and engaged community. You know, I have an example. Somebody that came into our community here recently, 5 months ago. And I know you mentioned the 5 months earlier there, Sandy, with this person, same thing. It was just a YouTube follower, pointed them to our Discord, came very involved in Discord. Now he's a very dominant NFT collector and is collabing on NFTs, creating NFTs. Is been a big part of what we're building here at the DAO. So obviously still has his Web 2 life, but has now fully immersed into a Web 3 as a creator and collector. So you don't have to stake Corium to take advantage. There's no token gate. There's no fees. It's just come, contribute, be respectful, and we're all going to grow together. So I just wanted to clarify that it's open to all networks, Cosmos, Tezos, Bitcoin. It's just about a hub of resources and talent and people, and it's been very powerful so far, and I just can see it's going to continue to do so.
Please go ahead, other Chris.
Yeah, thanks for catching me on that, Sandy. Glad. I think I should be back now, right? Thumbs up if y'all can hear me. Okay, good. And yeah, thanks for filling in there for a second, Chris. And yeah, Chris's Discord is amazing. I utilize a little bit of space over there to talk about my project and the things that I do between OmniFlix and Corium. It's a great place to learn. So not only if you want to learn, if you have something to share, you can go over there and help share. And that's also what Sandy's trying to build here, is she wants to have the ability for us to all share resources and help teach each other. And it kind of piggybacks onto what I was talking about before I started rugging, is we're here to teach you about DAOs, DeFi, DEXs, NFTFi. You're going to have the ability to utilize NFTs in certain ways in DeFi or as collateral for lending or lending out the NFT itself. There's so many things that are going to be coming in the coming bull cycle. All these things are going to drop and your brain's going to melt for about a good year to year and a half. So we want to be there to help guide you along the way. And you really need to understand the rules of the game if you want to be successful, because Ida pointed out that she felt like that she was buying the all-time highs or she's buying NFTs that are like losing value. It can be stressful when you're new and you're trying to figure this all out. So your community and your support group is very important, and you want to be sure that you're in the right place, because they're not all created equal. Some will lead their communities based on different ideals or different goals. But for us, we're here to help you learn the best strategies. And sometimes that's going to mean that you need to come and connect with us outside of spaces. So you might see some things that we start doing with the DAO, maybe some Zoom calls, maybe some things in Discord in the future. But we want to sit down and show you some of the things that you can do, and not just show you the step-by-step how you do them. We want you to understand why you're doing them, what you're doing. And once you start to understand the rules of the game, you can make better decisions, because proof of stake can be the best thing in the world or it can be the worst thing in the world. If you buy it and you hold it and you don't understand the tokenomics and the issuance of the token, all the different things that go around all these different chains, you might end up holding something for too long. And just because something is not necessarily the best tokenomics does not mean you can't utilize it to make profit from. So just something to keep in mind. If these things interest you, make sure you follow us. Make sure you hit Sandy up and myself up and tell us what you want to hear. In fact, the last thing I will say is I've requested to Sandy, I think on the 17th is our next space, if that's correct. I'd requested that we have a Q&A session so I can really gauge, like, what do we as a community need to learn about? We talked about staking to the network maybe the last couple times that I was up here prior, but we know there's more out there that you guys want to learn. I have some content I'm creating for you soon. We have DAO launching over on OmniFlix soon, so you're going to see invites and invitations to those things, so you can start to learn about DAO tooling. But yeah, hopefully this next session we have will be, I love having guests. We learn a lot. We get to interact, but it'd be nice to just kind of sit back and breathe and kind of just have these conversations like we had today. But let's have them with all of you who maybe you are selling NFTs. I've had some messages in my inbox from one of my collaborators who's new to OmniFlix, and I don't think that she's ever moved from euros to crypto or sold crypto back to euros. So she's selling NFTs on Tezos. She's selling NFTs on OmniFlix, and something that we think is so simple, and we've done it 1,000 times by buying or selling on an exchange like Coinbase, she doesn't know how to do it. So, you know, we want to make sure you guys understand, how do you enter and exit into fiat? How do you stake? How do you do lending and DeFi and DAOs? And as you grow in this, you'll be a lot more happy and a lot more successful with your NFT projects, because you're going to have an understanding on what to do with the crypto that you earn. So I'll shut up now. Thank you for giving me some mic time, Sandy. I appreciate it.
Are you kidding me? I love that you guys are here, because I can't do this on my own. I can't be doing the art, buying, talking about the money and staking. I mean, I'm pretty talented, but you know, this is what we're doing. And so, yeah, we've been here an hour and a half, and I just want to shout out to all the artists who've shown up and put their artwork in the bubble. I've been collecting. Shout out to Chon Lee. I love what you did. May the fourth be with you. And everybody, come on. If you want to come on up for a little bit, we still have some time. If you want to come up, if you have any questions, but I think we've had enough money talk. I think everybody kind of gets it, that we got people who understand crypto, and we don't want you to lose money, and we're going to help you figure it out. And that's it. That's simple as that. And we love art. Oh my God, I love art. And I've been collecting art, and I want to hear what are the exciting things that you're doing, because you know, are you making film? You know, I watched Claire Silver's post where there's like this AI and it's interacting with her. Oh my God, it was so amazing. So come on up and request a mic if you want to. And big thank you to our guests. I'm so glad that you guys took the time out to come with us. Please come back and, you know, stick around with us. If you want to talk about your other art or something else, please do. But I think I'm going to open up the space to artists. I see Chon Lee. She's coming up. And thank you, my co-host, Chris. I know that you're also very busy and working. I'm going to be doing the shill hour. And thank you, Chris. You're doing a great job. Chris, my co-host, has been working and bringing artists into the Cosmos ecosystem with their artwork into his project, and integrating it into this, you know, the money part of it. And they're also getting recognition, and they're learning about all this other funny money. And I get a lot of questions, and I'm helping with the translation, but it's working. I think you've got like about five or six collaborators that have already come, and you guys are building, you know, Flix Bets. How many collaborators are you at now, Chris, before you leave? Well, maybe you're driving and you can't hear. But anyway, there's a lot of new collaborators that are coming on board, and he's into art, and he understands the tokenomics, and he understands how to present your art. And it's just a wild new idea that's just never been done before. This is just part of the new stuff that we're inventing in Web3. So that's one of the reasons I'm very bullish on Flix Bets and this whole project. And also, one last word about OmniFlix and their media. It is very powerful. That, you know, I could sit here and talk for hours about what OmniFlix is doing, but if you have a community, and like Chris from Corium was saying, the technology they provide to be able to interact with your community, to reward them, to build your brand and make videos. So, you know, OmniFlix doesn't really care what blockchain you're on. It is a multimedia platform that you can take advantage of to build your brand. And, you know, I'm sort of, I am my own self-made ambassador. OmniFlix never came to me and said, come work for us. I just really believe in the technology and it helped and it worked for me. And so I'm just passing the word on. And the same way what Chris is doing, you know, OmniFlix isn't paying Chris to go, you know, talk about, hey, Corey, I'm coming over here. No, we're making use of amazing technology and we're coming together. So let's go over to Art. Chon Lee, welcome to our space. It's the second time you've joined us. How are you? Please unmute yourself and take it away.
Hey, hi, Cindy. I came up here because you gave me a shout out. Thank you very much. And the thing you mentioned, May the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day already, isn't it? On Saturday. And yeah, May the 4th be with you guys. May your stock keep rising. And so what I did is this one, like what I did last year, which is a little tribute to Star Wars Day, and I minted the artwork onto object. So thanks for the shout out for that. I think my device has crashed. I don't know if you can still hear me.
Yeah. Oh, we can hear you okay. Loud and clear. Your beautiful silky voice always brightens up the space. And thank you so much. Please continue.
Yeah, my screen has gone blank. I don't know what I can do. So yeah, I'm just a bit awkward right now.
Well, Chon Lee, tell us where you're going next. Are you going to be attending any exhibits? I know you got shows all over the world. You're so recognized now. Are you going to be any place soon that we should be looking for you?
Right now, I have some work at Farcon with a gallery, gallery.so, I think. And I'm not sure which ones they picked up because they said they could be showing anything between 5 or 10 artworks depending on the space available. So I've not seen any pictures from there yet, so I don't know what's going on. And I also have 3 artworks in Venice right now. And one of them was was there from last month when the Biennale opened up. I'm not in the pavilions. I'm not in the pavilions because that means I have to suck up to my national government and you know, be friends with Dan Chummy and all that. I'm not. I can't do that. So my stuff is in an independent gallery just right outside the Arsenal. So yeah, it's there and far on where else. And I think that's it right now.
Well, that definitely says a lot. And thank you so much. I admire your courage. I admire your integrity. And yes, it is about being where you want to be, where you're respected, and you don't need to be having gatekeepers to keep you from the world. So thank you for what you're doing. And I hope that you continue to have success. I hope you continue to have your artwork shown around the world. And it's definitely going to be featured in our video, because what we do is at the end of the month, we create these curation videos. We upload them to our TV channel. And the nice thing about it is, truly anybody can watch it. So that's what I really love, is that I feel like this is the place where people who are scared of crypto, who are scared of NFTs, who are scared of this whole thing, can just come over here and just look at our video. Like, look, we bought this artwork. You don't have to buy anything. And then from there, we can hook them and see that we are a legitimate community of artists and people who are building this space. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Sandy.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, I just want to say that I'm looking forward to the video. It was on OmniFlix, right? I remember asking you about it before. And okay, here's another thing as well. This Star Wars Day artwork, I've listed the first 10 at 5.4 Tezos, you know, because it's 5.4, right? May 4th. But right after that, the price would be raised by quite a lot because of expectations from the art world about how much my stuff should be going for. They're all complaining, why is this stuff so cheap, when, you know, like this and stuff like that. So yeah, that's it. Thanks, Sandy. Back to you.
You whispered some really important alpha, okay, people? Okay, she said they want to know how come your stuff is so cheap. So, you know, there's like bars. There are people who sell their artwork like in the Ethereum kind of, you know, realm. And then there are the rest of us who are trying to get 4 or 5 tezos. And by the way, Chun-Li, I'm also collecting this for my personal wallet as well. So we're going to have one in the Crypto Canvas Chronicles vault. And then I've got my personal wallet because I'm distinguishing between these two collections. One is going to be my personal that hopefully my son will inherit. And the other is going to be donated to some museum or gallery of my choice down the line. This is going to be forever on the blockchain and not just for me. So yeah, I just went ahead and I think I got another one of your May the 4th be with you while it is at this affordable price. So thanks, love. Yes, if you don't value your art, you know, like I bought Ida's art. It wasn't 5 tezos. It was a lot more. I bought Tabassum's art for 500 flicks, and then I bought her tezos, you know, she's coming up here. So collectors collect based on what you think you're worth. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the way it goes. And you know who I think really understands their value are the Nigerian artists. I will go on one of these Nigerian beautiful photography collections, and it'll be like 200 tezos. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, Chun-Li, please go ahead.
No, just to add to what you're saying there. I think it was last year I did the People of Tezos, and I was giving away an artwork for every bidder, you know, bidder's edition. And guess what? The freebie was recently sold for, I think, 100 tezos. Someone made 100 tezos out of nothing. And I'm so thrilled about that. And yeah, so you never know what's going to happen with those things.
Yes, exactly. Chun-Li, there are a lot of opportunities where people have collected NFTs. I got airdropped Empress Trash token, her full moon. And you know what? I sold that one for 80 tezos, okay? And I'm kind of sorry I did. I went back and I'm trying to buy it again now, but because that continues, I didn't understand that by selling that token, it prevented me from getting her future full moon tokens. I just thought, oh my God, 80 tezos. Empress Trash is going to love the secondary, you know, this. And I made 80 tezos off of, well, maybe 70 something tezos off of a free NFT. So yes, a lot of people do turn around and some of my artwork that I have gifted, like Valentine's and things that I've gifted to collectors, they've turned around and those are all bringing me secondary royalties as well. So please, you know, don't underestimate the values of NFT. Thank you, Chun-Li. I have collected this from my personal wallet as well. Thanks so much for joining us today. I've got Tabassum, a curator this month. She is doing the theme mother. Okay, we've got two themes going this month. One is spring wellness. Some people don't know who their mothers are. They didn't have an experience. My father was orphaned. So we are sensitive to that. And we're also doing celebration for those who do have mothers, who do have this amazing time to celebrate and honor. And just a quick word for Mother's Day. Mother's Day was not so that you could buy cards and take your mother to a busy restaurant and make her wait for 3 hours and eat a brunch. Okay, people, that's not what Mother's Day was, although that seems to be what a lot of people think it is today. Mother's Day was to bring awareness that women die from having 15, 16 kids. That birth control was not available to women. My own grandmother birthed over 15 children. And my dad, his mother died when she was pregnant and she had a miscarriage. She didn't have access to medical care. So Mother's Day is about recognizing that having a baby is one of the riskiest thing a woman does in her life. And to this day, it is the number one cause of death. Pregnancy-related deaths are still the number one cause of death for women around the world. So during the month of May, we really need to kind of highlight the importance of women having access to good medical care. I don't want to debate the political part of it. I want to just bring awareness that this happens. I had a baby, and you know what? It is a terrifying thing when you're having a baby, because you know, if you understand the fact that you might die having a baby, okay? Chun Li is a mother. She's experienced childbirth. It is the most beautiful thing I experienced, but I also am really glad that I wasn't in a situation like my grandmother where I had to birth 15 babies. That's a lot. So thank you, Tadasom, for joining us today. Please unmute yourself and tell us how you're doing. And also, I just collected her artwork. She has an open edition that is currently running on Tezos. Welcome, Tabasom. Salam. Kubasti.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Sandy. Thank you for this opportunity. Actually, today, I don't have enough concentration to speak English right now. And thank you if you translate for me.
Hatsman Tabasum Jun. Of course, I'm happy to translate. Things are sometimes difficult. Please go ahead. Man bara tarjuman.
Merci. Salam mojaddad be hame dostan, che farsi zaban, che englisi zaban. Man mikhastam avval darbare in term tozih bedam va ye miqdar shoma tozih dadid khanim Sandi, vali manam mikhastam az did khodam darbare in term tozih bedam be khatere inke من تقریبا نزدیک 10-12 سال پیش پسر 5 سالم رو بر اثر سرطان از دست دادم و این ترمی که شما در نظر گرفت برای این ماه واقعا باعث شد که من یه مقداری احساساتی شدم و تحت تاثیر این ترم قرار گرفتم و راستش رو بخواین الان انتخابایی که دارم میکنم شاید خیلی تحت تاثیر این ترم باشه و ولی امیدوارم که انتخابای درستی داشته باشم برای این ترم و دوستان هم در واقع کارهایی رو که اینجا ارائه میکنن بر مبنای همین احساسات باشه. مرسی.
خیلی ممنون تبسم جون. خیلی متاسفم. گفتین پسرتون 5 سالش بود و این حدود 10-12 سال پیش این اتفاق افتاد؟
بله.
اوکی. Our friends, Tabasom is doing the curation for Mother's Day this month, and I will be doing a major buy on Mother's Day, but it's a very emotional theme for her. About 10-12 years ago, Tabasom lost her 5-year-old son to cancer. So this is a very emotional time. And as you may go through the curation and the pieces that she is selecting, keep in mind, this is what her history is. And so as you look at these pictures and photographs and artwork, this is the background. So holidays can be emotional. And, art is a wonderful way to deal with our emotions and do that. And so let me give the mic back to Tabasom and let her continue. Tabasom Jun, خواهش میکنم ادامه بدید.
ممنون از ترجمه سندی جان. و اینکه من این رو هم اضافه بکنم که الان در حال حاضر یک اوپن ادیشن توی آبجکت دارم که در واقع مرد هیزم به دوش هست و این عکس رو جزو همون پروژه هایی هست که من در خیابان وقتی دوچرخه سواری میکنم یه سری عکس هایی رو میبینم روی دیوارها نقاشی شده یا حالا طرحهایی که روی زمین هست یا هر جایی که میتونن کار هنری رو بکنن من اینها رو عکاسی میکنم و خیلی جالب بود که این روی یک تنه درخت نقاشی شده و جالبتر از اون این که هیزم هایی که روی دوش این پیرمرد هستش واقعی هستش. مرسی از دوستان که توجه میکنن و از این فرصتی که در اختیار من قرار دادید. ممنونم.
Thank you. خیلی ممنون تبسم جونم. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tabasom has Wood Chipper open edition running on Tezos right now. Ms. Tabasom, she's a professional photographer. She did a lot of specialty theater photography, but she's also a street photojournalist. She rides mountain bikes. And the interesting thing about this particular capture is the wood that's on the back of this person is actually real. So it is a paint, it is a art piece, a real art piece, and she was able to capture it beautifully. I've collected this also for our Crypto Canvas Chronicles vault because it is beautiful and I love your street photography. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go to our next speaker?
Thank you so much, Sandy, for collecting my work, and thank you so much, everyone, goodbye.
Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time, and it was nice because connecting from Iran is not always easy. The VPN doesn't always work, so today we got lucky. I'd like to welcome Simran. It's been a minute. I haven't seen you. How you been, Ms. Simran? Please unmute yourself. What's going on with you today?
Hi, Sandy. Hi, everybody. It's so good to see you, Sandy. I think I'm seeing you and speaking with you after a very long time. I don't know, just somehow. I hope you're doing well. And it was lovely to listen to Tabassum. I'm sorry, my heart goes out to her. I'm not a mother, but I work with children, so I know how it is to have these little bundles around. And I do have that mother instinct because I work with teenagers and toddlers with art. So it's so nice to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to see you. And yes, I love your artwork. I've collected your artwork for my personal collection. And we've also done we've been in the same world where we had our artwork. And that was a very uplifting experience, Simran. And so thanks for joining us today. You do more than you lead us to believe. You are such a wonderful community builder, and I love your stories and I love your spaces. It's been wonderful getting to know you. Is there anything you'd like to present today, your artwork that we should consider?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for that. I'm happy to share that one of my artworks is going to be at NFT Bucharest. It was selected by the team, and I'm very excited because, I've never been there. And thanks to the NFT space, our work travels across the globe. So every time it's exciting, even your work reaches a new place. And I would also share one of my latest Tez work. So I've been working a lot, like studying a lot recently, trying new artwork, trying new software, trying new brushes on Procreate. So I've started now combining physical and digital watercolors. So I've pinned up something. I don't know if it's up there already. This is a combination of physical and digital watercolor brushes. So I do like the basic, and then I add an extra layer. I add on Procreate using watercolor brushes. So I think I'm enjoying this new added value part to my artwork. So yeah, I just thought I'd share that. Thank you.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Yes, you do physical work and then you also combine it. There's so much going on there, and I'm trying to find your on the computer here. Okay, I'm definitely going to mark that and go check that out. Everybody, please check out the art of Simran. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you being up here. Anything else you'd like to add before we go to our next guest? We've got a few more minutes left, a couple more artists up here. And is there anything else, Ms. Simran, we should know before we go to our next guest?
Well, I'm done speaking, but I think in case if I have a little bit, half a minute, I would love to say that Chun-Li is one of my favorite human beings in this space. I greatly admire her a lot. I look up to her. So I think she's someone I learn a lot every day. So I do want to say that. That's all. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sandy.
Okay, of course. Thank you, Flowers, for Chun-Li. And also, Simran, I like that you collected the eternal bloom of bravery. That is a beautiful piece, and you posted about that. That's really wonderful. You know what? I'm going to add that from my personal collection as well. So sometimes people shadow buy. Yeah, it's really nice. You support other artists and post about their artwork, and that's what I try to do with Crypto Canvas Chronicles. Not only do we purchase the artwork, we post about it, and then we make videos about it and try to also let the rest of the world know that you're here and you're an artist. Thanks so much, Simran. I'd like to give the mic to Bahar. Bahar John, welcome to the space. How are you?
Salam, Sandy John. Hi, everyone. And I'm so happy to hear your voice, my dear friend. I really love your voice and you. And please talk Persian or English.
That's fine, Bahar John. من میتونم ترجمه کنم. I'm happy to translate for you. Please pin your...
No problem. I can talk English, but I wanted Persian because it's my first, and I really love you talk Persian. And I wanted share. Let me share my new dropping object.
Definitely.
Yes, it's you know, I'm a physical artist, and my favorite medium is watercolor. And its artwork named Heart Lamb. And I write a poem about that of very famous poemer, a Persian poem. And it's English poem, translated to English. The light of love and honor is in your forehead, bright. The house of your heart is the light of your setting. سندی چون خیلی دوست دارم اینا فارسی شو توضیح بدم چون که یه کمی حس عارفانه‌ای داره یعنی اون سمبولی که دارم و انگلیسیش خیلی خوب در نمیاد چون من خیلی بلد نیستم میخواستم بگم که این نقاشی کلن این نقاشی نماد وجود انسانه که درون انسان ها صفاتشون زیبایی هایی که دارن یعنی نقاشی نماد اون درون وجود انسانه که حالا رنگایی که استفاده کردم نوری که هست گلا اون فضاش و چراغا کلن سمبول قلبه چون کلن اعتقاد دارم باور دارم که قلب انسان مهمترین قسمت وجودشه و اینکه پر از نوره به خاطر اینکه با اون عشقی که تو قلبش هست با اون مهربانی و صفتهای عالی انسانی که تو وجودش میتونه داشته باشه این نور رو از طریق قلبش و اون زیبایی ها منتقل کنه به بقیه آدم ها. و اون همون انرژی مثبت خوشی که ما آدم داشته باشه ازش دریافت میکنیم و امیدوارم که یه روزی توی دنیا بیاد که همه آدم ها قلبشون پر بشه از این نور و مهربانی و عشق و جنگ یعنی موقعی که من سندی جون گذاشتم بخاطر این بود که حس جنگ افتاده بود تو ایران و اون امیدوارم که یه روزی بیاد که همه آدم ها این شکلی بشن وجودشون پر از نور و عشق و مهربانی بشه و جنگ دیگه واقعا استوب وار I hope coming استوب وار Thank you So I'm sorry for Persian explaining because I wanted true explain for this art
Thank you so much my dear Bahar I have just collected The Heart Lamp by Bahar for the Chronicles And another emotional artist story about this particular piece was created during the time when the news of war was coming for people in Iran. And her wish is to have the humanity and the love and hope. So that is the time that this particular artwork was created. It's really beautiful. I really love these stories and I'm glad you're able to come and connect so you could share this. So it's written in English, but her explanation in Farsi is hard to translate. So I'm not going to try to do that because the poem is already there for you in English. Thank you so much for joining, Bahar. Please check out the art.
It's beautiful. I love collecting from your collection for my personal as well as for the Chronicles Vault. Thanks for joining us today. We have time for one last person waiting patiently, Sarah, and then we will finish the show with a song. And then I will still continue buying. I'm going to go through the comments and I'll still be posting and buying a little bit, but we do need to wrap up the show and be respectful of everyone's time who's been here. So Sarah June, welcome to the Chronicle Space. How are you?
Hello, hello, dear Sandy June, and thanks for having me here. You know, I know that you don't have time, so I will explain about my art quickly. Today, I really like to share with you one of my available pieces on objects. I think you haven't seen it. Actually, this is one of my animations, and this is the recreation of one of my old drawings. The title is The Love Between Us. And, you know, in this animation, I think love is like a gamble. And so that I use gamble elements like poker pieces and also playing cards and also the kings and queens in playing cards to show this concept because love is full of risks and difficulties like gamble, and only true lovers can handle it. And yes, that's the story. And I made this piece in Photoshop and After Effects, and only 3 edition of it left on object. And yes, that's it. I make it short. And thank you for running this amazing space and having me here. And back to you.
Thank you so much, dear Sarah. We have just collected this beautiful, The Love Between Us. I totally love this because my dad loved playing cards. In Iran, a lot of us didn't have television. We sat around, did poetry, we played games. And so cards were one of the things we played. And by the way, if you ever went to Iran, smuggling a deck of cards is like the thing you did because your family and your relatives have these old playing decks of cards that are just wrecked from years of playing with them. And so I'm going to give flowers to you, Sarah June. Thanks for joining us. Everybody check out the art of Sarah. I'm going to give the mic to my co-host, Chris, and then we're going to wrap up the show. Please, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, Sandy, thank you. One last tidbit from me. Thank you for the Crypto Canvas Chronicles. We bought the 300 flicks priced art from Shaq, and she is very excited to sell that piece. For those that don't know, we have Fight Farm NFTs that are pegged to her art, and they utilize it as the background. When you buy the Fight Farm NFT, you get airdropped her art, but she also sells some of those as standalones. And Sandy went and scooped that up for the Crypto Canvas Chronicles. So thank you. And I just shared this link at the top. If you've never checked out Fight Farm, this is the time to do it. I just price all these NFTs for 2 specific fighters at $1. So if you ever wanted to test it out, all of that money is not going to me. I'm not taking any profit. Those $1 ones from here until tomorrow, Sandy, are going to go directly to the rewards pool because I really want to pay it out to the people who come and try out the game. So thank you for your time. That's my show for the day.
Thank you, Chris. Definitely. Okay, I'm going to go grab some for my personal wallet and a couple for the Chronicles. We definitely support the artist, and this is a great way to get in to this project. Thanks for joining us. Dear friends, it's been a wonderful time. I'd like to give the mic to Ida. You're still here. Do you have any closing words before we sign off?
Well, I have a lot to say, but I'd rather continue on Clubhouse or in your next space some other time. There's so much to say about every artist here. I have a lot of respect for everyone here. Want to give a shout out to Test City, Amir Pick, who's done a lot for artists on Tezos. Do check out what Test City has done, and I look forward to doing this again, and I hope to see you on Clubhouse soon. And please, everyone, do consider moving all of these spaces to Clubhouse. this can be very frustrating. All the bugs and problems you have on Twitter Space, none of them exist on Clubhouse. It's a much smoother, much nicer experience. So yeah, thank you for having me today, and can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Ida June, thank you so much. I had to go to the computer. I actually brought Amir up here before we end the show. I do want to give him a chance to speak. And yeah, you know what? I think we will, I will talk to Chris. I think we do need to have a program on Clubhouse because honestly, I've been doing this. It's like, I feel like a little clown between running between my computer and people dropping and coming back up. It's like an acrobat show. And so we definitely will be joining you on Clubhouse and taking and going, making that a thing, hopefully. So I'd like to give the mic to Amir because I know he has some things he wants to share with us. Please, Amir, take a couple minutes and introduce yourself and tell us what's going on. And then we will wrap up the show.
Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. Hello, Sandy, Ida, everybody. I can't speak English. Excuse me. I'm sorry. thank you for giving me mic. من فقط می‌خواستم تشکر کنم ازت به خاطر این فضای خفنی که اینجا قرار دادی. ازت ممنونم. خیلی لطف کردی. قصد شعر چیزی نداشتم، بیشتر دوست داشتم پیشتون باشم. ازت تشکر کنم به خاطر این اسپیس خیلی خفنی که داشتی و امیدوارم که همیشه اینجوری بهتر کنین و باشین و ما هم همیشه کنارتون هستیم.
Thank you, dear Amir. Appreciate the flowers. Thanks for coming up here. Behnaz, I tried to add you. Just want to say, I think we're just having connectivity issue. I'm sorry we didn't get to hear you this time. Dear friends, I'm going to just play a little music. And, it is the weekend. So have a safe, wonderful weekend and continue to post, you know, in that bubble, even if it's your friend's work that you want me to see. You know, that's all right. Put it in there and check out Chris's collection too. And everybody, Crypto Canvas Chronicles episode 8. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks very much and see you soon. This song is called Urban Cookie Collective. The Key, The Secret, Extended Mix, VJ Rob Loop Edit. Check it out. Woo-hoo! You can sing along, it's okay. I do this all the time. Woo-hoo! And I like to dance. Great show, everybody. You guys are awesome.
Woohoo! Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.